on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
You listeners, help yourself to breakfast.
My love is making music with my friends.
We're serving breakfast this morning at Francisco Grande Resort, just west of Casa Grande. So if any of you are listening in that particular area and you'd like to come in and join the broadcast, come on over. They just brought in a big selection of sliced fruit and some pastries and some hot coffee, and we'll be here broadcasting all morning long. We're here with special guest Mrs. Nancy Cutler from the Desert Botanical Garden talking about saguaro harvesting.
Hey, Nancy, question for you.
Yes.
So we have done the prickly pear for a long time.
Yep.
And to get harvest, you need buckets full. You know,
right.
And I just can't imagine that you do you
she
get...
needs Rosie to get about 15 5-gallon buckets full of fruit to generate about 10 to 12 gallons of extract.
So do you do juices with saguaro, or is there other things, because it's a little harder to get to?
You can do all the things that you can do with the prickly pear, but as you say, it's harder to get to, and it's not as abundant. Well, it could be as abundant, but anyway, it's just more difficult to manage. I'd like to, when you get the fruit down, do you want to talk about that?
What do you get? What do you really have? I mean, they seem to be like long, stretched-out figs is the only shape I can think to describe them to. And so what do you do with them now that you've got them down in front of you? You have to skin them?
Okay. They do have kind of a rind on them, kind of like a soft melon or a firm banana skin. So when you cut them, you cut them in half in order to get at the fruit. And the rind you do not eat. But inside, as soon as you cut them open, you will see that the ripe fruit is chock full of tiny black seeds. In fact, there's about 2,000 seeds in every fruit. And a little aside, each one of those seeds could potentially grow into a giant saguaro cactus. However, obviously not all of them survive or thrive.
What could you describe the taste? I mean, you just consume the seeds? It's not like pomegranates where you have to spit all those seeds out and stuff like that. You just consume them?
Yes. Well, they're actually also suspended in a thick, red, juicy pulp.
All right. Now we're getting to the meat of things here.
Right. that pulp, I have tried to think of a way to describe it that it's like... All I can say is it's fruity. It's not like anything else. It's sweet. It's kind of earthy. They're very ripe, it's robust. I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, what did the Native Americans do with it?
Okay. When you cut the fruit in half, then you can see all the fruit and the pulp, and you scoop the fruit and the pulp the pulp and the seeds out into a bucket or a pot. And often you can actually do this with your thumbs or with the spoon, either one. And then you get as much of the pulp as you can collect and put it into the pot, and you add a little water, and then you cook it over a fire. And traditionally it was cooked over a fire outdoors at the camp where the harvesters were harvesting. And the Native Americans would stay out there for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to collect as much of the ripe fruit as they could. And then in the processing of it, what it does is it stabilizes the enzymes, because you cannot store ripe fruit for any period of time. Within a day or so, it is not good to eat anymore. And so the processing, it preserves it. And that was what they wanted to do, so they could have it all year long.
Did they ferment it?
They did. First, they cooked the juice until the seeds would separate out. And then strain the juice and pulp through a basket and collect the seeds there. Then put the seeds out in the sun to dry on some kind of mats. And you sort of have to protect them from insects and other animals as well. Then you put the juice and pulp back into the pot and back on the fire. And you cook it down until it becomes a thick syrup or a jam. And then you can put it into containers and preserve it to use all year long. You can drink the juice, and the juice was also drunk fresh, and it's very delicious. Native people thought that if you make a wine with the juice, ferment it, and then they guarded it carefully, and they did a ceremony at the end of the harvesting, and they thought that that would bring the rain, and that would help to perpetuate the grow the crops, and it was actually the beginning of their new year, because they felt like the year started when the rains came, the monsoon rains came, and they could then replant their crops and things would thrive in the desert.
Saguaro fruit harvesting with Mrs. Nancy Cutler from the Desert Botanical Garden. Where else are you going to get this kind of information? Anywhere else, you can't find it. It's right here at Rosie on House. Now, the last thing we probably ought to mention in our last 60 seconds, Mrs. Nancy, is what are the rules about collecting it? Can I just go into Saguaro National Park where the fruit is most abundant and just harvest away?
Unfortunately, you cannot. Any property where there is saguaros and fruit is owned by someone, and you must get permission of the owner, whether it's private property, whether it's in a garden, or owned by the state or the Native Americans. You must get permission to harvest the fruit from this protected plant. Also, you're not allowed to collect the ribs or the boots except on your own property. You give yourself permission to do that.
And is there a limit, like we're only allowed 1 5-gallon bucket per harvester?
Not that I know of. We used to go out and get as many as we could.
All right.
We would go early in the morning and only for one day. Other people harvested for weeks.
Mrs. Nancy Cutler, past docent trainer at the Desert Botanical Garden, can't thank you enough for getting up this Saturday morning and sharing this information with all of our listeners at Rosie on the House. Now see, now that's authentic. Saguaro fruit wine. That's authentic.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.